This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Great topics, great radio.
Pine and Seed.
Touching our community. Right around the nation.
Pine and Seed.
Reaching far and wide. Stream us now. Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And
we've had a message.
We've had a message. Hello, Hide and Seekers and guests. Happy 20th birthday, Joy. Grant from Gordon. Thank you, Grant. It is, of course, Joy's 20th birthday. And we are celebrating that on Hide and Seek by recognising lots of long-term relationships, because Joy's had a long-term relationship with our rainbow community. And our rainbow communities had a long-term relationship with Joy. And so we are exploring long-term couples. Now we've just had Chris and Cam on. And joining us in the studio at the moment is our sex therapist, Chris Fox. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, gentlemen.
You're in a long-term relationship as well, aren't you?
Longish.
What? How do we define?
We've survived the 7 year itch.
7 years.
We've done the 7 years.
We've done the 7 years. What do we classify as a long-term relationship now?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Actually, no bloody idea, really.
That's a very good question. SMS in 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. Don't forget, you can go into prize to win our birthday present for tonight, the Daft Punk CD, Random Access Memories. So just send us a message, include your member number, and you can go in the draw for that. It's one of those things that we sort of... we don't have a definition for, really.
Well, in our community, I don't know that we do have a definition for. We've only been collecting ABS data on same-sex relationships for the last two census, so we should be starting to get a picture. But no, we really don't have any definition around what a long-term relationship is in the gay and lesbian community.
And Chris, by that, I suppose, do you mean that we don't have statistics about what an average length of a relationship is, so we don't know what is the top end of that bell curve?
You know? No, not at the moment. I don't know that we do, but I'm sure we will find out shortly.
So I suppose we should ask people out there, how long, you know, 3 dates, 3 years, 3 months? At what point? When you meet the parents, does that mean it's a long-term relationship? When you meet the ex, does that mean it's a long-term relationship?
When the ex returns, is that a long-term relationship?
Sometimes couples can move in together and very quickly that's classified as a long-term relationship because they've moved in together, they're living together, and some couples can move very quickly into comfortableness.
I think that's about the individuals. It's about their experiences in life, their sense of, I don't know, security and attachment. So, yeah, for some people, you know, they can move into a comfortable space really, really quickly. Some people move into that comfortable space, and when that honeymoon period, the limerence period's over, they sort of... Yeah, it really does depend from couple to couple.
Maybe it's when the sex drive starts to diminish. That's that point, you are now in a long-term relationship.
Yeah, look, that sex drive thing, I mean, something I deal with quite often. And, you know, when I talk to couples, because, you know, they've lost the sex drive or one of the couples has low desire, it's existed from that moment, sort of the honeymoon period of the relationship ended and people returned to their normal level of sexuality, of sexual expression. And sometimes we have to work because, you know, we get mortgages, we change jobs, we do all sorts of things. Life gets in the way. And sometimes when it comes to sex, we just have to make the time for it, guys.
Now, we've got on the line a couple that took that, I think, to the extreme. They've decided to go bush, and I mean that in the literal sense. They've moved out to the country. They have a farm. They have chickens and things. On the line with us now is Brent and Paul. Good evening, boys.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, you boys are actually married.
We are.
Where did you get married?
Well, we decided to take advantage of the, you know, Canadian revisions to the law, being Canadian that I am, and went back to Canada and got married in 2004.
And how long had you guys been together when you decided to get married?
We've been 5 years together, so we've been together for 14 years now, and we got married 9 years ago.
Do you have a definition for a long-term relationship? When does it tick over to be a long-term relationship, do you think?
Oh, gosh. When it feels like it, I don't really know.
Of course, we are tonight celebrating Joy's long-term commitment to our community and vice versa. Brent, as executive officer of Living Positive Victoria, you'd recognise, I would hope, the importance of Joy in Melbourne.
Absolutely. I think the work that Joy does in terms of getting information out there is central to ensuring the health and vitality of our community.
Now, we should make mention, of course, that this coming weekend, Living Positive Victoria and Joy are joining forces in a massive, massive, massive way, along with the AIDS 2014 conference organisers, to do our global AIDS, World AIDS Day worldwide. Did you want to give us a bit of a brief of how you see that on at your end?
Well, I think, I mean, the technology is sounds and looks amazing, which is, you know, this 24-hour conference that travels the globe as the sun goes around the, or the earth goes around the sun.
No, the sun can go around me, Brent.
Yeah, it revolves around you, Avi.
I think at 6 a.m. on Monday it's going to be, yes.
But I think what's amazing about this is an opportunity to initiate conversations around the globe about, you know, AIDS 2014, but also about HIV, what's going on around the world, to just sort of raise excitement and raise awareness of on World AIDS Day.
And I think it also will bring, I suppose, a global awareness to our local communities. You know, Australia's described as the lucky country, and sometimes Australians, as we, you and I are both immigrants, Australians perhaps don't know quite how lucky they are.
Mm.
And I think having a global conversation and hearing from people from sub-Saharan Africa, for example, from the Asian countries, from places in Eastern Europe, some of the stories coming out of those places might actually be a wake-up call.
I agree, and I think it's a bit of a taster for what I think people are going to experience when the full-on conference comes here in July.
Now, we'll talk about that a bit later, because the Joy coordinator of that event is going to be joining us a bit later on. So we'll discuss World AIDS Day Worldwide a bit further with, of course, Mr. Dean Beck. Paul, for relationships, we'll go back to long-term relationships. What are the keys to a long-term relationship for you?
Look, I think, first of all, you know, being on the radio on a Thursday night while you're in bed with your husband. It's lovely being naked on the radio, I have to say.
Oh, I do that every week. The nice thing about a radio is I can be naked all the time. And you people don't know any different.
The keys to a long-term relationship, I think, trust, honesty, a certain amount of forgiveness, and, you know, preparedness to put up with people's good and bad sides, and a sense of reality about the fact that, you know, it's not always hearts and flowers. And
do you subscribe? You know, we had Dan Savage on the Joy a couple of weeks ago now, and he goes into the fact that, you know, there is a price of admission to any long-term relationship, and this is the price that you're willing to pay to stay with someone. How important do you see that price of admission?
Well, I think in our case it was 4 years in the courts and about, well, who knows how many thousand dollars in legal fees to get through the immigration process because Brent's HIV positive. And it is a little bit simpler now, but at the time it was very hard work to go through that process, and it took quite a long time to get his residency. We had to have our day in court with the government, all that. So that's a bit of a flippant answer, but that was an aspect of our relationship for a long time. For about the first 5 or 6 years of our relationship, we really didn't know if we were going to be allowed to stay together.
So for those of us who weren't around when you guys first started seeing each other, how did you meet?
Introduced through friends.
Old school.
It was a Mardi Gras moment. friends introduced us, mutual friends, for a Mardi Gras launch. Then I didn't see him for a while, and then saw him, I think, at an Inquisition party.
It was a leather party.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, leather romance. Living in the bush. What a story.
But now, I wanted to touch on that because you guys have decided to go country gay.
Yeah.
And you have a, what do you define, a small holding, a hobby farm, a insanity? How do you define what that is?
Yeah, the tear.
it's not a pied a terre, thank you very much.
It's 10 acres of bushland off the grid in a mud brick home.
Yes.
Just living a very simple country life. It's wonderful.
What motivated you guys to move to the country? Because when I met you two, you didn't strike me as country boys. But then when the first time I went to your place out in the country, and I thought, this actually makes sense. But what motivated you guys to go out to the country?
We had it in mind for a long time. We met in Sydney, and we spent the first part of our relationship in Sydney. We talked about it as kind of a long-term goal that we would like, one day to go off and live in the country, but that would obviously be impossible for a long time. But then, it wasn't as impossible as we thought it was, and once we sort of sat down and had a look at it, we thought, well, we could do that now rather than waiting until we're old. We can still have access to the city and still have access to the community, but also take advantage of the space and the opportunity for a different kind of a lifestyle.
What was the hardest thing you had to learn? I mean, you come from, I think of myself, if I was as a city boy going out to the country, I don't know that I would cope for very long. What was the hardest thing that you guys had to learn about being on a farm?
Oh. Because of the way we live, the house is, it's not automatic. You have to kind of, heat the water and pump the water and make the electricity happen and so forth. There's quite a lot of technical kind of aspect to it, and there's a lot of operating and machinery and so forth that I wouldn't have been comfortable with before we came out here. But
do you have a ride on mower? Because that could sell me.
Ride on mowers are for girls. No ride on mower. And there is a lot of wood chopping, so there's no need to go to the gym.
Yeah, I could see Paul chop wood as a way of venting frustration.
Yeah, it's very, very healthy way to get rid of it.
And a lot of people watch.
Well, yeah, I think
the secret of our relationship.
It is. I have been to a royal show. Wood chopping is a spectator sport.
It is.
It can be. Certainly, I've watched those as well. I have to say.
Well, Paul and Brent, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
A pleasure.
Have a great rest of the evening, naked together in bed.
Have a amazing weekend. All of our love to everyone at Living Positive Victoria on Saturday at the YARE event at Federation Square. That's the Youth Empowerment Against HIV.
And we'll see you, Brent, on Sunday at some stage, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And happy birthday to Joy, guys.
Happy birthday, Joy.
Thank you very much. And we don't say Happy World AIDS Day, but we say something.
Well, hang on, Brent, what do you say? There you go.
I have no idea.
I think we need a communications policy on that. Thank you, boys.
By Sunday, if possible, please. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
You're on Hard and Sick on Joy 94.9. This is your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self on our 20th birthday for the station.
Joy. 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 Joy.
Hide and seek.
So sexy it hurts.
You're on Hard and Sick on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And we are celebrating tonight Joy's long-term commitment to the community and the community's long-term commitment to Joy, because it does go both ways.
Yes.
We need the community to support us so that we can support you. Of course it is. We're doing that because it's Joy's 20th birthday this week. Well, and birthday is actually on World AIDS Day on Sunday.
And so, as a way of celebrating, we're throwing ourselves a 24-hour party.
Yes, on Sunday, that's right.
Yes, from 6 a.m. Sunday morning all the way until 6 a.m. Monday morning. So please don't phone me at 6:05.
No.
No.
We'll be all... asleep at 6:05, I think, going mad. Chris Fox is still with us, our sex therapist, and we've been doing a Googling away.
Hang on. So this is the problem about sharing a studio with two statisticians, because they have been comparing the Australian Bureau of Statistics reporting on same-sex relationships and arguing about median versus mean versus something else, and my eyes glossed over, and then I turned their mics off.
We've asked the question, at what point does a relationship become a long-term relationship? And we found out that the median length of a relationship is 18.2 years. 0.3, sorry.
That's a long time.
That's a long time, but that's all age groups.
And it's all current relationships as well, not just gay and lesbian relationships.
This is all relationships. So if let's imagine we're the I think we all
are. Andrew, let's talk about us. If you're in the 35 to 44,
yes, that's right,
age group.
The median length of a current relationship is 13.6 years.
So Adrian, although you feel like you've been with me for a lifetime, you ain't.
But okay, so that gives us our median length, but.
At what point does it answer the question?
It really doesn't answer the question. And, I mean, I know I've heard stories over the years of couples that have been together for 20 and 30 and 40 years. I mean, doing research in the community, I've interviewed couples who have been together long-term. Friends in Ballarat have been together now for, would be over 20-something years. Sorry, girls, I can't quite remember. 20-something years. And, I mean, you know, that would definitely be a long-term relationship. You know, I mean, if we use the median and say, well, you know, the median plus a standard deviation.
Oh, yes, talk stats to me, baby.
Standard deviation. Come stroke the moat. you know, so if we said, you know, 35 to 44, because that's our age group, your age group, actually it's our age group, you know, 13.6, so I'd be saying...
10?
10? 10?
8? 7?
10 years? Well, if you went 13 plus a few more...
You could say half of that, you're about 6, so you're about a quarter. You're about 6.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a step back. At what point, because this is more interesting to me from a sex therapy, relationship therapy point of view, at what point is it a serious relationship?
Avi, at what point did you enter into a serious relationship?
Well, I'm asking the question with ulterior motives. I've only had two. I'm in my second at the moment. The first one lasted just over 13 years. I'm right on that number. I'm average. It's very disappointing. But that relationship, I met my then ex, well, my now ex, then partner, when I was 20, very young.
Well, in that case, at 13 years, you'd be well and truly over the median. You're not average, love. That's what I'm saying.
Lovely. But at what point do you say this is, we're not dating, we're serious? How do couples make that decision or take that decision, or what should they consider when they're going, we're not dating anymore, we should be serious, or we should stop, or, you know, what are the thought processes around deciding this is something that we should do?
An interesting question. I hate you two. you know, when you're talking, Ivy, I was thinking about my relationship, my current relationship with Adrian. I mean, we were seeing each other. We were staying at each other's house. I took a secondment to Tasmania for 6 months and he was selling his house, so he moved into my place. We'd only been together for about 6 months and we weren't in a relationship even then. Contrary to all of my beautiful lesbian friends who are telling me that, you know, you're in a relationship, and going, no, we're not. We're not having a relationship.
We just see each other periodically, you know, when we're in the same town.
And I'm leaving the state for 6 months, so, you know, there's no real relationship there, and I'm safe.
But there comes a point, though, that you go, okay, no, this is real. I'm in here.
I'm into this thing. I think that point shifts. Is it when people move in together? Is it when, you know, people start purchasing together? Is it when bills start being shared or things there are joint purchases? I mean, I think that's going to be a shifting thing for every couple.
Do you need to live together to be a serious relationship?
I don't believe people have to live together to be a serious relationship. That's not necessary. Yeah. But it's about the sharing, and at what point do you agree on how you're going to live.
It's when that holiday plan starts and you say, well, you buy the plane tickets, I'll pay for the hotel, we both chip in for the masseuse when we get there.
Shit, I was having a relationship at 2 months.
Well, I think Andrew and I have quite a fun story for this one, because we left an underwear party to have this discussion. We decided that the underwear party was not interesting enough. We're going to a coffee shop in Collingwood to decide that we were serious about each other. So I think if you're prepared
to
leave...
So at what point in your relationship did that occur, though?
That was about 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Where we went, we're not just dating. Well, it was sort of, okay, we are dating, I guess, was the conversation.
I think that was at the point at which, can I call you my boyfriend?
Yeah.
You know?
And what was the conversation focused around? What did you guys actually discuss in that? You know, are we having a relationship?
Do you want to go steady with me?
Do you want to be my boyfriend?
Yes, it was that conversation. Because there's
pass a note to him during study.
During I mean, you can. I think, particularly in the gay world, you can have fuck buddies.
Yes.
And so, and that's a different kind of relationship.
It is, but it can still be a relationship.
It can still be a relationship, but you can have a disconnect. My understanding of my definition of a fuck buddy would be there's a physical relationship happening, but not necessarily an emotional relationship.
Yeah, there can be.
There's
a boundary. There's no boundary.
But I suppose this conversation was around, okay, we're not just sleeping together. Let's see what else we have that we can build on.
I mean, I look back with Adrian and I mean, we did testing. And we made decisions about monogamy and how we were going to manage it. And I think that was at the point we'd entered the relationship.
And, you know, for me, it's kind of an interesting one, because I think those topics around monogamy and what's acceptable, the rules discussion, if you like. Do straight people have a rules discussion?
I think what I find working with straight people is quite often they don't necessarily have the rules discussion, and that, you know, when one of them has the affair, it suddenly becomes a whole thing. There's an assumption in the heterosexual world that, you know, we have a relationship, we enter into a long-term relationship, we de facto, we get married, whatever. It's to the exclusion of all others. They very rarely, I find, actually discuss. There are definitely straight people out there who do discuss the rules and the boundaries of their relationship, but there's a given in that breeder world.
Do you see that changing with younger straight people?
I do, and I don't.
Right. I'm glad you cleared that up for us, Chris.
I do with the young people that I see, but then the young people that I see, I don't think are run-of-the-mill young people,
right. straight people. And potentially, if they are having those conversations...
Andrew, stop looking at the roof. It means you're going to give a hard question.
No. Yes, potentially, if they are having the conversation about whether or not it's an open relationship, for example, that they're not necessarily the ones who are going to be coming and seeing you.
No.
Because they may not be having the problems.
They may not be having the problems.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.
I'm going to read this. This is delightful. We've had a message, and from the context, it's from one of our lesbian sisters. Right. I love the fact that we have lesbian listeners. Firstly, folk, great segment. I'm hitting the 3-month mark over the weekend, feeling very proud. Guys, I'm having a finger-licking good time. If we're talking sex, it's very serious, and dinner is booked to meet the parents on Tuesday night. My pussy loves her, as does my heart. But I do have to admit, I'm going to assume is the word that's missing there, my pussy is very sore from grinding. I love reading this. Now, guys, that's a pretty serious relationship. P.S. We're buying our first strap-on next week. Can't wait for the sexual debut together. There's a first time for everything. That's probably the first time I've used strap-on in a sentence. But do you think that's the definition? Dear caller who didn't leave their name, who SMS'd us on 0427JOY949, is that the definition of a lesbian serious relationship when you buy the strap-on for the relationship, when you go out and decide, this is the size, shape, and colour we want? I think that's tremendous.
Okay. SMS in 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au. This is Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.